Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, Ideal Family Life, Text Number 12. Jaya Dhyad Arte Swan Pranan. Hanyad Va Pitaram Guru. Tasyam Swat Twam Shriyam Jayad. Yastena Yajito Jitaha. Jayat. One may give up. Yat Arate. For whom? Swan. One's own. Pranan. Life. Hanyat. One may kill. Va. Or. Pitaram, the father. Gurum, the teacher or spiritual master. Tasyam, unto her. Swatvam, ownership. Striyam, unto the wife. Jayat, one must give up. Ya, one who. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tena, by him. He, indeed. Ajitaha, cannot be conquered. Jitaha, conquered. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One so seriously considers one's wife to be his own that he sometimes kills himself or her, or kills others, including even his parents or his spiritual master or teacher. Therefore, if one can give up his attachment to such a wife, he conquers the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never conquered by anyone. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Every husband is too much attached to his wife. Therefore, to give up one's connection with his wife is extremely difficult. But if one can, somehow or another, give it up for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the Lord himself, although not able to be conquered by anyone, comes very much under the control of the devotee. If the Lord is pleased with the devotee, what is there that is unattainable? Why should one not give up his affection for his wife, children, take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Where is the loss of anything material? Householder life means attachment from one's wife, whereas sannyas means detachment from one's wife and attachment to Krishna. One so seriously considers one's wife to be his own that he sometimes kills himself for her or kills others, including even his parents or his spiritual master or teacher. Therefore, if one can give up his attachment to such a wife, he conquers the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never conquered by anyone. Yan mai tunaidi grihamedi sukham hitucham kandu yenena karayor iva dukkha dukham triptyanti neha kripana bahu dukkha bhaja kandu divat manasijam Vishesh hate adira. Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itching sense, an itch. Grihamedi, so-called grihastas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually is a source of distress. The kripanas, the fools, who are just the opposite of brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are dhira, however, who are sober and who tolerate this itching, are not subjected to the suffering of fools and rascals. Yan maitunadi kriyamedi sukham hitucham kandu tanena karyor ivadukadukam triptyanti neha kripana bahuduka bhaja kandu divat manasijam vishahete dhira. And Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. Urvam gachati sattvasta madhe tishtati rajasa daganya gunavritista ado gachati tamasa. That's not right. Urvam alam adakshakam ashvatam prahu arviyam tadamsi yasya parnani yastvam veda savedavit. That there is a banyan tree and it has its roots upward and its branches are down. And the hymns of the Vedic leaves. That one who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. In other words, as we've heard the analogy before, if one goes to a lake, then one will see that there's a reflection of the tree within the lake. The difference is that on the tree there is actual fruit, but in the reflection there is no actual fruit. So I mean, this material world is just a reflection of the spiritual world. Although it seems to us that it is all very real, and in one sense it's real, but it's temporary. It's just an ever-changing material energy is taking one form and then taking another. Therefore Krishna said, Asochan avashochas tvam pragavadam chabasase gatasums agatasums cha nanu sochitim pandita, that while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. That those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. So the body is never alive, and therefore can never die. And the soul is always alive, and therefore it can't die either. So there's only a change of the elements that were within, which is ever changing anyhow. There's no permanent manifestation of anything in the material world. Everything changes in the course of time, under the purview of time, according to the three modes of material nature, karma comes into existence and changes everything in this universe, in all the universes. But the drama that's going on, because it's just a drama, is this imagination where we're dreaming that we're Romeo or we're Juliet. Or we're friends of Romeo or Juliet. The same thing that's going on in the spiritual world, where Krishna is the center of all loving attraction. Here, we're trying to make this body that we're in the center of all loving attraction. We're trying to put this body as the center of the universe. The sun moves around my body. The moon moves around my body. People move around the body. Even the ants in my room, they exist as decorations for my body. So this is all called imagination, because that's all there is that's going on here, is we're imagining something to be something which it actually isn't. Therefore, nanyan gunebhyas kartaram drashteva nupashyati gunebhyas chaparam veti madbhavam sodagashyati. When you can see that there's nothing beyond these three modes, and that the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all of them, then you can know my spiritual nature. In other words, when we take Krishna more seriously than we take the material energy, then we gradually become liberated from our material misconceptions. Because the material world, as it says in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhayam dvitiya nibeshitasyad ishadavatasya vipario smriti. That as soon as we turn away from Krishna and try to become his competitor, that I am actually the enjoyer, I am the actual controller, then we become full of fear because we're forced to misidentify ourselves with these gross and subtle bodies. And therefore we're full of fear because this body might die. There's rumors that sometimes even people who live in Slovenia, rarely, but it sometimes happens, some of them even leave their bodies. Of course, we're good people, so it won't happen to us. So we have nothing to worry about. Although we're always worried about it anyhow. Because we don't really believe it. We know that everyone has to leave their body. Therefore we're always wondering, when am I going to have to leave my body? Today, tomorrow, 5 minutes. So the universe exists mostly in forgetfulness that this body is inevitably lost to us. And in the meantime, we try to intoxicate ourselves and imagine that we're enjoying in the material world is Romeo, Juliet, Tarzan or Jane, Mickey Mouse or a Minnie Mouse, surrounded by Donald Duck and others, paraphernalia, other associates. But here Romeo has a hard time, so does Juliet. Mickey Mouse doesn't really make very much progress in self-realization, neither does Minnie Mouse. The whole material world exists simply out of struggling to maintain something which is inevitably lost. And as much as we think we're enjoying in the material world, when we lose what we think we're enjoying, then we suffer twice as much. If you have nothing, you have nothing to lose. And if you have something, then you're always worried about losing it. And then when you lose it, you lament that I've lost it. And then you have to hanker again to get something else. So the material world exists in hankering and lamentation, in the illusion that we're the proprietors, and then when we lose what we think we're the proprietor over, then we lament and suffer even more. Therefore, as it says, jita jitops tais trilokyam. So the same thing is used in Brahma's prayers, jita, jitaha, ajitaha, and jitaha. Krishna is never conquered, but he's conquered by one who gives up this illusory conception of life. It's culminating in yanmai tunadi, grihamedi, sukham, hitucham. This grihamedi, that I'm going to establish a kingdom on this planet. Nowadays, for instance, everyone thinks that they're king. Previously, there used to be one king and everyone else was a pauper or a slave or a worker or whatever. But nowadays, everyone is in the illusion that I'm the king, that I'm the lord of my house, this is my kingdom, etc., etc. Of course, that's all being spoiled because they're shudras, Krishna's arranged it that their so-called freedom, their liberty and their dominion over the material world, the conception of it is being taken away from them. The government is ever more imposing its will upon people, and therefore they're not really so secure thinking that this is actually my domain. It was never their domain, but they were just in the illusion, trying to enjoy the illusion that this is mine. But actually all they're doing is cultivating pumsa, striya, maituri, bhavan, etan, taramida, grantiyamahu, atogriya, kshetra, sitapta, vitera, janasya, moho, yam, ahang, mameti. All that's being cultivated is false ego. It was never theirs. It could be taken away from them at any moment. And all they're doing is possessing the ever changing gross and subtle elements of the material world, which no one can really say they possess. Rani Kashyapu wanted to protect his body from death and therefore underwent severe austerity to live forever, but he died. What he thought was his body was taken away from him. When Narsingadev wanted to, he came, and that was the end of Hiranyakashipu's identification with his body. Similarly, whatever we think we're the proprietors of now, I'll only be there for a very short period of time, and then we have to go on to another scene, another drama. Therefore, pumsa, striya, a man, I am the Lord, striya, I'm the Lord of you. Maituni vavanetam. And it all culminates in maituna agara, sex life. Tura mridya granti mahu. And atogriya kshetra sitapta vetera. In order to prove that I'm the Lord, I have to get land and wealth and children, so many different things. But actually what I'm doing is inquiring, simply strengthening my false ego. Janasya yoho mam ahamameti. All I'm doing is cultivating moha, illusion. Ahamameti. But if one can give up that illusion, how did Arjuna give up the illusion? By willing to use his assets in Krishna's service, whatever they might be. Nashto moha smritir labdva tat prasada mayachuta stitosmi gata sandeha karishe vachanam tavaha. I have given up this nashto moha. I have given up my illusion that I am the Lord, I am the proprietor, I can do whatever I want. These are my relatives. I shouldn't fight on this battlefield. Someone might get hurt. Therefore, I'm giving it up because you have a plan, and whatever your plan is ultimately good for everyone. The people who died on the battlefield, Kurukshetra, they at least obtained liberation. Some of them even went back to the spiritual world. Otherwise, if they would have died peacefully in their bed, who knows where they would have went. Therefore, doing their duty as Kshatriyas, Krishna told Arjuna at the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Dharma swadharma apichave ksham navi kampitum arhasi dharmani yudya shreyanya kshatriyasya navidyate. Happy are the Kshatriyas, O Arjuna, to such fighting opportunities come of sought, opening to them the doors of the heavenly planets. So it was a great opportunity to fight in the battlefield Kurukshetra. Not that whenever I see blood, I become very nauseous and I'm not going to fight. I don't even want to watch it on television. No, they're Kshatriyas. They were trained from the birth. So fighting was just like a sport. When Bhima, Krishna, Arjuna went to fight against Jarasandha, that for 28 days and nights, Jarasandha and Bhima fought with clubs and fists and everything else available. During the day, and then at night they would be friends and they would eat together. So for them, they're trying to kill each other, but that was just sport. They were not in the bodily concept of life that we are. You're going to die and disappear. They knew if someone died in such a fight, then actually everyone gets benefited. But we don't have such a conception. Therefore, we're in the conception that actually the material world is a nice place. And these people are actually enjoying and having a good time. And we don't want to interfere with them. We might disturb them. But actually these people are destined to go to the darkest regions of existence because of so many sinful activities. And that if we don't disturb them, Yamaraj will. Therefore, one should be convinced that, yes, people should, household life is good, as every other ashram is good, if it's an ashram. Anyone who follows an ashram, they'll be benefited by regulating their mind and senses, engaging them in Krishna service. That will be the perfection of their life. We don't have to, as Krishna says, or as Lord Brahma says, stane sita shudigatam tanuvang manobira. We don't want people to give up household life. We don't want people to give up anything. Brahmachari life, grihastha life, vanaprastha or sannyas. We want them to engage in Krishna service, beginning with stane sita shudigatam. We want to tell people about reality. You're not your body. The first thing we teach people. You're eternal. You should work for your eternal self. You shouldn't waste your time in this temporary sense gratification. That's not the only thing in life. You should spend some time in self-realization with your family, and you may give up your material attachment for them, but then you'll become spiritually attached to Krishna, and by doing so, you'll actually appreciate your family even more. You'll become even more dutiful. You'll become even more loving and considerate and productive, not less. Otherwise, in this attempt for godlessness in modern society, the family, Prabhupada said, is just family life now is just an imagination. People whimsically, they kill their children, whimsically give up their relationships, whimsically allow their children to be engaged in all kinds of nonsense activities. So instead of actually being beneficial, the so-called attachment to household life, if there is such a thing nowadays, people are not attached to anything except for their own sense gratification. But Becoming attached to Krishna means that automatically one will become materially detached from others. And at the same time, being attached to Krishna, one can render the best service to everyone. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yoga yukta vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriya sarva-bhutatma bhutatma korvan napni lipite. That one who works in devotion, he's a pure soul. Who's a pure soul? Who controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. Though he's working, such a person is never entangled. So by controlling our senses, by engaging them in Krishna's service, the result will be that Krishna will be there, and everyone will become blissful, and will become instruments of Krishna, and Krishna knows exactly what we need in every respect, either on the bodily, or the mental, or the intellectual platform, or on the spiritual platform. Everyone will be satisfied in all respects. But by sense gratification, the sense is not satisfied, the mind is not satisfied, the intelligence is covered, and the soul suffers. So the only auspicious path forward is to utilize our family, our friends, our belongings, manasa deho, geho, yo ki chumara, apilutuya pade, nandi kishora. Bhaktivinoda Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, I'm surrendering everything, my body, my mind, my words, my house, manasa geho, yo kichimura. Surrendering everything to the lotus feet of Nandi Kishore, Krishna. And that way everything becomes auspicious and we won't become entangled in illusion, that's all. The only thing we have to give up is our false ego, our illusions that come from that, and then this world will become as good as Vaikuntha. So we're not trying to change the world, we're trying to change our consciousness. And by doing that, we enter into the spiritual realm of consciousness, and everything we do will become auspicious for ourselves and everything else, everyone else. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Jagannath Sutta, what did you understand?
So that actually if we act selfishly and try to accumulate the goods and have like a life full of sense gratification is actually to be a devotee and live a devout life is actually the best thing also for that, because it actually does makes us happy and makes us fulfilled and fulfilled. So this is our real self-interest, like that.
Yes. Good. Lalita Govinda.
So you mentioned at the beginning this reflection of spiritual reality in water. So sometimes we hear that this reflection is illusion, and that it's temporary. But it's real. So what is this connection with illusion? Because we see illusion, we are living in illusion, but it's also real, but temporary.
Yeah, it's real in the sense that it's made of energy, just like if a child is cooking. The child is only 3 years old, the parents give her a plastic kitchen with plastic pots and plastic chapatis. So she's imagining she's cooking. She has a plastic stove. But she's, so in one sense it's real. She actually has a stove and she has plastic pots. But she's not really cooking.
But actually the kid experience something like the soul also experiences.
Yeah, we're experiencing illusion.
Yeah. That's real.
Yeah, that's, we're experiencing illusion. I mean, we're actually experiencing something. But what we're experiencing is the illusory energy. So that's real. We have consciousness and we're experiencing, and we think that this is reality. This is the ultimate experience. Okay.
So that means when we have hard taste, we will change experience.
Yeah, when we actually
change experience, these illusion experiences with real spiritual experience.
Yeah, when we actually get a real spiritual experience, as we get more, then we won't become attached to. We'll voluntarily want to remember Krishna. We'll become attached to hearing and chanting about Krishna, rather than hearing and chanting about the glories of material sense gratification.
Thank you.
Anything else? Rishabh.
I liked when you emphasized at the beginning of the lecture that we live under illusion, that everything revolves around us. The whole world is here for us and that we are the king in this universe. That's how people live. That's the point of existence in this material world. So I like that.
Yes.
Comparison.
Everyone likes that. Dr. Marco.
Well, I like that you said that Krishna has a plan for everybody, but so we must give up this illusion of that we are the kings, that this is our...
Or queens.
Or queens. And if we put Krishna first, then give up material attachments, then we will be liberated. Yes, I think the beginning.
Yeah. Well, become Krishna will reveal himself to us. Jita jitop tais trilokyam. Although Krishna is unconquerable, when he serves Krishna, then he becomes conquered. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You were saying how we maybe think that we shouldn't disturb others because they will just degrade themselves more and then Yamaraj will disturb them anyhow. So then I was thinking how, for instance, humans that eat meat, so they have to kill the animals. And we understand that those animals were persons before, in previous births, and they were also doing the same. So I was thinking how it came about, like how it started, that because... As I understand, humans at the beginning were not like violent towards the creation, or
well, it happens because there are three modes, and if you act in one of the modes, you'll be influenced by the other ones too. Sometimes you'll gradually degrade yourself. That's how the modes work. They gradually pull one down. One doesn't make an effort, but good association to go upwards, one will be pulled down by bad association. You may think, oh, I would never eat meat. But if we get in bad association, eventually our consciousness will be pulled down. Then we'll think, we have to do it. With the speaker, we won't. We have to do it. Yes.
Actually, I have a question. We can stop this illusion by carefully chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But it is said in the scriptures there are no hard and fast rules for chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. What does it practically mean there are no hard and fast rules? Somebody may think...
You can chant it anywhere. Doesn't mean that there's no hard and fast rules. You have to chant offenselessly. We know that there's offensive and offenseless chanting. So our rule is we have to chant offenselessly. But as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to pass and he came back holding his tongue. And Gopal said... Why are you holding your tongue, Lord? He was only 5 years old. He said, because my tongue is so naughty that even when I'm doing dirty things, it keeps on chanting Hare Krishna. So Gopal said, my Lord, you can chant Hare Krishna anywhere, no matter what you're doing. So Krishna said, Lord Chaitanya said, oh, that's correct, that you're my guru. So then he was known as Gopal Guru, because he instructed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to chant Hare Krishna everywhere, all times.
I know some devotees who think, well, I can be laying in my bed And I can chant my rounds just laying in the bed. There are no hard and fast rules. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. Good luck. If you can chant defenselessly while you're lying in your bed, great. And if you fall asleep, then good luck. There are things that are more auspicious. And there are things that will help us. Therefore, we have sadhana bhakti to help us chant Hare Krishna defenselessly. Therefore, we do have rules. For instance, you're not supposed to offend the devotees. You're supposed to serve the devotees. You're supposed to always remember Krishna and never forget him. But there's no hard and fast rules in the sense that you can do it anywhere. In the Veda culture, you had to wash your hands before you did and you had to be pure before you did the sacrifice. There's so many rules. How the sacrificial pitch should be drawn, who can chant the mantras, how they had to be chanted. But there's no rules like that. That's what it's referring to for this sacrifice. Kuala Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.